Scripture comes from Mark 14:3-9. It's a few Bibles, 8:8-2. While he was at Bethany reclining at the table of the home in Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar, a very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying to one another, "Why the waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured the perfume beforehand to prepare me for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her."
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Abby. I wish I had... ... Fill in the blank. If only this would happen, then I could... Do what? I wish I could get blank. And then everything would just be great. I wish he would do or act this way or that. Then such and such would happen. Have you ever said or thought something like that? Though different catalogs arrive year-round, how many of us have already received some kind of gift catalog for Christmas? Some of us have. You did? Okay. Well, I know it'll surprise you, but I've gotten them from Cabela's and Bass Pro Shops. And the Bass Pro Shops Redhead Christmas Catalog, and emails that have the Christmas catalogs. And I've already gotten Christmas emails and catalogs from Smith Hell was Publishing. So we get those things regularly, do we not? But especially at this time of the year. Those Christmas gift catalogs, or as Stephen and David used to say growing up, the Whoosh Books. The Whoosh Book came from Sears, right? We even sing songs like "Wishing and Hoping, Planning and Dreaming," or "Wishing You Were Here." That's Chicago. Or how about, I have to throw this one in now that I've already mentioned it. "We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas," right? We do all kinds of wishing. And then there are those who, when they don't stumble over the question horrendously, and everything comes out gobbledygook, "I wish for world peace." Right? A lot of folks wish for world peace. The end of war. Do we not wish for that? No more hate. But then again, there are other people who wish for food, clothes, a bed. We've got folks out there, the walk this afternoon is for the place of hope for the homeless day shelter. And I remember the scene in... Now, the movie escaped me, but I can see Sandra Bullock standing there and Michael Orr, the actor that played Michael Orr, standing there in the house. And he says, "I ain't never had one of these before." She said, "What, a room all to yourself?" He said, "No, a bed." And there are people who wish for some place to be safe and warm. There are folks out there who wish for a job, and not always for that perfect job, but just a job, period. And then there are those who wish for a kind word or a kind act or just to be acknowledged. In just a few words, in other words, they wish for kindness and for mercy The story today in Mark chapter 14 that Abby read a few moments ago is a very familiar one. The woman who anointed Jesus shortly before his arrest, his trials, his crucifixion, resurrection. It is a story which seems very straightforward and very simple. A story of this woman coming and showing gratitude and love to Jesus, who had shown her kindness. But a story of that woman showing gratitude and love to Jesus for which rebuke is expressed by some that were there, presumably the disciples, followed by a statement of rebuke for them and praise for this woman. But a while back, I was struck by something else, trying to put myself in the situation at different levels and as different persons. I was struck by wishes. Wishes? Yes. I got to thinking about, I wonder what the wishes were in Simon's mind. The wish to have Jesus in his home. What a coup to have Jesus in his home. Simon, who we're told is a leper, one to whom Jesus showed kindness. And so he sought to return that by inviting Jesus to dinner so that people could say, "Boy, Simon, Jesus came to your house and ate." Wishes for everything to go as he had planned and for him to be able to, I don't know if they had an artist in the background over in the corner drawing the picture so that he could put it on his wall. But what would we do? We'd have somebody take a photo, right? So we could frame it and put it up. And then suddenly this woman comes into the room. Now in Luke version of the story, we're told she's a woman of ill repute, bad reputation. Told the same thing in John. And while we presume that here, it's not specifically stated. But this woman comes into the room where and when she is not supposed to be in this room. Simon was probably wishing somebody would drag her out of the room. Take her away. In fact, in other versions of this encounter, Simon even wishes Jesus would send her away. And he thinks, you know, if he really were who people say he is, and a prophet and a teacher, he would know what kind of woman this is, and he wouldn't have anything at all to do with her. So here, Simon, who was wishing and hoping, planning and dreaming that all of this was going to go well and he was going to be the talk of the town, suddenly probably had some other wishes that weren't so kind going on. Some have even suggested, it doesn't say the disciples here, but it says, but some who were there said to one another in anger, "Why was this ointment wasted this way?" And perhaps Simon was one of those expressing that opinion. In John, it is Judas who brings that forward. But whoever it is, she is scolded, rebuked for her action. And they wish that Jesus had stopped her. Why was the ointment wasted? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor, and they scolded her. But you know who they were also scolding? Yeah, Jesus. Jesus for allowing it to happen. Now, the reason they give for this is that the ointment is nard. It's very, very expensive. And I think they're probably trying to soften a little bit their critique of Jesus allowing this to happen by nobly saying, just think of all the poor we could help with this. And it is a noble statement. But the attitude with which they say it shows its harshness. Of course, the disciples had given up much to follow Jesus. And perhaps the disciples might have even been wishing that not only Jesus would stop her, but if she wanted to give something, she could give the ointment. They could go out and sell it. And maybe I'm putting thoughts into their heads that don't belong, but I'll almost promise you at least one of them was thinking, and then maybe we can take some of that money and do something special for us. Wishing, perhaps, that they might be able to use a little of that for their own wishes and needs. Now, I must admit, understandably, they were a little irritated because this was worth a year's wages, and after all, they had given up much to follow Jesus. Bless you. They had given up much to follow Jesus. And not just a year's wages for a special person. This was a year's wages for a hard laborer in the fields from sunup to sundown. They've been with Jesus nearly 3 years now. One writer states that this encounter, quote, shows the everlasting debate between the market mind and the spirit mind. End of quote. So perhaps there were some of these who were wishing Jesus had stopped this woman and wishing that they could benefit from it. And then we come to the woman herself. The woman who has come in with this alabaster jar. Alabaster jars were generally made to hold very precious ointments. And most of them in this time period had a thin neck and top. Easily broken. And here comes this woman, and her very act shows that she is wishing to show gratitude to Jesus and for Jesus and what He had done for her. In fact, she shows that with what Jesus calls, she has done a beautiful thing, a beautiful work, an act of kindness born from the beautiful kindness of Jesus' grace-filled act for her. Now you might say, well, if she could really afford to use this expensive nard in the way that she did, she wasn't poor. And they said, we could have helped the poor. She could obviously afford it. Sure. But I would suggest to us that her wish not only to show this gratitude to Jesus by this action, and for Him to accept it, but I would suggest that perhaps she was wishing that in this, her sense of poor spirit might be healed. I would suggest she had been poor before Jesus showed her grace and kindness, emotionally battered, especially if she was a woman of ill repute, emotionally battered and scarred and poor, and spiritually spent and poor. And in her wish for something more than just being treated the way she had been, Jesus had responded with even more than she could hope for, than she could wish for. And in her action here, she wished kindness and love for the one who had answered her wishes for healing. And note what she did. She didn't open the jar and pour the nard out. She broke the jar. An expensive jar to begin with. She didn't just splash a little dab here or there behind his ears and on his wrists. Rather, she broke this jar and all of the ointment was used. And in that, she was showing her wish to give everything, not to hold anything back for future use, but to use it all in an act of kindness. One of my former seminary professors, Raymond Bryan Brown, writes of this act, and I quote, "This woman in this story lives forever with her act of kindness for three reasons. First, she was full of gratitude to Jesus. A life that had received generously from Jesus responded generously to Him. Second, she gave an overflow of love because love, if it is true, does not measure its giving except by giving the whole heart. Jesus had wasted His love on her. Now she wasted, quotation marks around that, her love on Him. Third, she anointed His body for burial. Her act of love and kindness was the last lovely deed anyone did for Jesus before His death. And it was done by this woman to whom He had shown kindness." End of quote. This woman wished kindness, no matter what it cost. Now Jesus responds, first by accepting her action, and then by defending her. Once again, more than she could have wished for. "Leave her alone." Literally, in the Greek, "release her. She has performed a beautiful work or a good service." And He spoke of her acting when the opportunity had arisen to show her kindness. And He gave His wish for the disciples, those who were present, and for all of us, all disciples in the future. His wish: there will always be those who are poor, and you will have the opportunity to act in the moment, doing your own beautiful work of kindness. You will not always have Me present. Now, Jesus was not diminishing the relief of the suffering of the poor. He was probably referring to Deuteronomy 15:11, where Moses states, "There will never cease to be some in need on the earth." And then he ties that to the command, "Open your hand to the poor." Her action and Jesus' wish for us as we reach out and help others, whether materially, emotionally, or spiritually poor, to do this as an act of worship. I cannot help but think of those who are emotionally and spiritually drained, as well as materially poor, in Jesus' parable of the Last Judgment in Matthew 25. When He says, "When you do this, when you show this kindness to the least of these, you are doing it to Me." Jesus then states that this woman will be remembered for what she has done wherever the gospel is preached. The focus here is not just on His death when speaking of the gospel. He says she will be remembered as an example of one who wishes to respond to God's grace and kindness by offering grace and kindness. This woman is a model of one important aspect of true discipleship: wishing to do kindness. Wishing kindness is an act of true discipleship. My friend and colleague Alan Culpepper, states that in the contrast between the critics and the woman's kindness, we are confronted with the question, are we givers, and I would add of kindness, are we givers, or are we more likely to accuse and find fault? Are we givers of kindness? Do we wish kindness, or do we seek reasons not to wish that kindness? And as we are reminded by Jesus that we live among those who are broken, sick, and alienated even today, and that He has come to us when we were broken, sick, and alienated, wishing for us kindness and redemption. His desire. Jesus wished for His disciples then, and Jesus wished for His disciples today, also is that we would be about the business of sharing the gospel, even by wishing kindness upon those around us in need. May we pray. Lord God, we thank You for Your wish and Your desire that we be a part of Your life and Your kingdom, not just in the future, but here on earth. As You wish kindness and grace for us, help us to respond by wishing and doing kindness and grace for a world filled with the need for kindness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is 697. As we sing "The Way of the Cross Leads Home," may we also recognize that that way leads us through kindness and grace, to give kindness and grace. Our altar is open for any decision you might make. Hymn number 697, "The Way of the Cross Leads Home."